It's number 93 in the spiral book.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest depth. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains fall, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. Oh, love of God, how rich and measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every storm on earth a quill, and every man a scribe my trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Stretch from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and
wonderful, isn't it? Well, Robbie, if you'd come, I'd like to receive the offering tithes this morning.
Amen. Thank you. Just forgive us for all of our sins, our shortcomings, and just the way we do things, Lord.
just open our minds and hearts to where we could hear what you've got for us today.
Yes, thank you.
Bless Brother Sam as he's back there studying. Be able to use him, Lord, to be able to bring forth what we need to hear, Lord. Bless each person as they give back to you what is yours, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's look over 98. I'm watching for the coming of the glad millennial day. I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch it waiting right away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Coming back will be the answer to earth's soaring cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. Thou shalt take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry. When our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Old Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy. And in all this holy mountain, nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace will reign in every heart, and love without a law. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease. In a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for the day of sweet release. For our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Let's all stand at this time, and I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come in response to praying.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just thank the Lord that we're able to be here, and we pray that He has already come back. He's already here.
He's here.
Let us. Amen. Receiving. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 84. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your many blessings unto us. love giving us the strength that we have and a knowledge, Lord, to know that you are here. Let us accept that which you have brought for us, God, and let us grow and be strong. Father, for the more that we can receive of you, the closer, Lord, that you are in our hearts. Father, we ask that we have love continually, one for another. Lord, praying for each other's weaknesses, God, they may become strengths. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Remember those in the Sunday school classes and remember Brother Dale, Father, and touch him in a special way. Lord, we thank you just for this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 84. How amicable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for living God.
Yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be so praising thee, Selah.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whom hard are the ways of them.
Who passes through my valley of
maketh thee well.
The rain also filleth the fields.
They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah.
Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed.
For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Let's turn over to page 105. 105 in the spiral book. In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sins. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ, the crucified of Calvary. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me." He was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee." That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it could only be
mercy of the man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Nicodemus came by night to know the way of right. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? These words he said to him, he must be born again by the Spirit of the man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The woman at the well, he all her sins did tell. How fine husband she had at that time. She was forgiven of every sin, and a deep peace came within. And since she cried, come see this man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven every sin, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. You love him this morning?
Amen.
Let's turn over to 124. Just a closer walk with thee. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied and long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea. morning. Let's turn over to 139. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, because he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yet it great all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, oh hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. My heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. Yes, he abides, he abides. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, oh hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Well, there's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burden rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. Yes, he abides, he abides, oh hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. And he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free, for the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, oh hallelujah, he abides in me. For the Comforter abides in me. Well, there's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away, since the Comforter abides in me. Yes, he abides, he abides, oh hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter. long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. Yes, He abides. He abides. Oh, hallelujah. He abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides in me. Aren't you happy He abides in you this morning? Let's all stand. We're going to change the order of service. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You.
See Him, He'll make a way, won't He? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to John 3. Ephesians 1, John 3. Now remember the announcements. The fellowship meeting will be this coming weekend at Brother Longoria's. We'll be leaving about no later than 10:30. So if you want to go with us, make sure to come and, you know, let us know and all, and we'll try to make arrangements to haul everybody or whatever, but we'll have to be leaving early to go over to be with them. So remember that. All right. And Brother Boyd gave me a note that little Jude Beckham Sims was born yesterday, weighed 7 pounds, 9 ounces, and that's Ashley's and Kevin's child, so they're glad for that. They had to take the baby because the cord began to run around its neck, and by doing that, they had to go ahead and make sure and take the child before it was any problem. But everything was fine, so just thank everybody for the prayers and the being of that, okay? Now, remember the announcements that we've made, all right? Now, we have the Sweetheart Festival that will be coming up February the 13th, all right? So make sure now that if you haven't signed up to come and be with us on that, today is the last day because we've got to rent a building, all right? We've got to rent a building to be able to do that, and we lost a building we had, all right? We had a building there, but they sold it. We have to get a building, and we have to know how many's going because of the building and the food and et cetera. So now today's the cutoff date. If you don't sign up today, then we consider that to be finished. If you want to come, now a lot of people say, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. That's a month away. Well, I don't either. We all may be dead by then. But if not, we're planning on having a festival. Well, plans have to be made. Things have to be set. Everything to where we can do it. So then make sure that you sign up today and all, and to let us know to what is to be done. All right? So make sure you do that, because we've got to know to where we've got to rent it this week of getting the building and things. We have one, and it's in mind, but we're having to wait to see how many signs up to go. So we want everybody, you know, every couple to go and be with us and all, and we appreciate it. All right. Now, maybe we need to make an announcement, too, about the Sunday school services. All right. Now, some of you may have not noticed, but now we start the Sunday school in the children. It starts at 10:15 or 10:20. Excuse me, 9:20. Okay. 9:25. Okay. 45. Okay. 9:45, we start the Sunday school for the children. The reason we do that is to where the children then by 15 after 10 can come upstairs and go to the bathrooms, and everything's not a big rush. We designed this some 6 months ago or something, a year ago, and it's working real good. It keeps from the rush of being there when everybody comes up at one time. All right, so then it starts at 9:45, and then the kids will be released at 10:15 to them to come on up. The regular Sunday school in the bigger ones starts at 10:30 and 9:30 and ends at, I'll get it right in a minute, 9:25, okay. 9:45, okay. I'm trying to get my times. So
10 minutes late.
You say, hey, I've been around here long enough to know exactly when all these services are. But to get you to help me, then you'll remember. Okay. You think I don't know a lot of things, but I do it deliberately a lot of times to that way. See, if you get involved, you'll tell me what the times are supposed to be. Okay, so remember that, all right? That you start the Sunday school adult class is in a different time, but that puts it to where everybody can get up here. And that way there's no big crowd of doing it. You know, it handles it all the way through, all right? And two, then, you know, you come in late with your children. See, the Sunday school for the children's already started. You may get here in time for the Sunday school class of the adults, but remember the kids is already into theirs, and the doors downstairs are closed to where you can't come through those things because of that, and the signs are up of the time that goes there. So please observe that and you know, and figure it all out. We try to do everything to help you and your children. Now, we had a brother one time, I remember, we were up in Gainesville, and we done it here. But he kept on saying, my kids need something to be doing. We're sitting in the services too long with this, that, and the other. So we started a Sunday school. You know what? He never made it to Sunday school with his kids. We started on account of him. He never made it. You know what his excuse was? That's too long for the kids to sit. He was the one that wanted it. You want your kids to be involved. You want them to fellowship. And we do everything we can to have fellowship, and then you come up, well, we just don't never have no fellowship around here. Well, we try. We try to do things. We try to have banquets. We try to have this. We try to have Easter time. We try to have a fall time of festivals for us to fellowship and together and sit around and talk. But that's evidently not what you're talking about. But that's all right. We you know what? The world ain't going to end because we don't do what we want to do. All right? It ain't going to end. We're going to go ahead and have things. See? And you're the one that's going to miss out. It's not us. That's the best way to say it. But just, you know, not being nasty, but just being truthful. if you were planning on a meeting at your house next week, you'd sure want to know how many is coming, and you'd sure want to know when they're coming, and you'd sure want them to get there on time. You wouldn't want them to say, we're going to eat at 5, and then they come in at 7 and say, supper ready? Come on. Okay. Try to be nice. All right. It's me. All right. Ephesians 1 and John 3. Is that all the announcements? We generally miss something. That next weekend will be the children's time, right? The fellowship meeting is this coming Saturday at Brother Longoria's, and we'll be leaving by 10:30, no later, to be able to get there and to be able to, not be pushed, because you got to go through the Atlanta area to get there. All right. No more then. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we just ask you, Lord, to help us today in your loving grace, and give us understanding ears that we may hear what you have to say unto each one of us. And Lord, first of all, forgive our sins, because we want to be covered by the blood, and to be kept covered, because that's what we don't want, Lord, our thoughts and ideas and all to be the wrong thing. We want everything, our thoughts, our human being of every part we have, to be covered by your blood and guidance. And Father, just let your grace be sufficient for every need that we have. We love you and we thank you. Just come and be with us. Remember those that are not here, the different ones. We know different ones are in different places, and we pray that you would bless them and take care of everything. We commit everything to you now. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Remember what we're reading the Ephesians from? It covers the entire journey of mankind. From where we started before the foundation of the world, back in the mind of God, and come all the way through down now, getting to the point of coming to the earthly situation. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed were in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things were in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of what? His own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, I hope we get started on this, but we'll go to John 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to background some to make sure you follow me in my thoughts and ways and of what I've tried to do. Not back too far, but I thoroughly enjoyed Brother Aaron's message Wednesday because it was tying right into the thoughts. I love to hear things of people that are positive about their expressions. You know, I hate a down and out situation that, you know, well, nobody got nothing. We're all just all this in bad shape. I hate that. I love to see people, even in the natural, with a positive attitude. You know, even in your natural life, a positive attitude. You know, to where that you're up and going and things are okay. See, instead of a griping and complaining, Sister Trudy had a thing, you know, about grumbling. It's a song, and I don't know where we could ever get it down to sing it, but it pretty well describes all the grumblers, you know, and the things. And what is it about that? And that the grumblers won't be present in heaven, you know, and there won't be no grumblers there or something, you know. The termite song, you know, doing. But now, because I want you to think of something very positive. I have a funny way of saying things, I agree. But if you'll listen, it might eventually dawn on you something from it. I want to ask you a question. This is a start off because, or get into a thought. Remember what we were talking about last Sunday of the writing of the Bible? All right. The writing of the Bible. You know, I believe the Bible is still being written. All right. Because, now remember, and this will be valuable for Wednesday night especially. Oh, the Lord willing, if I get there. You know that Brother Branham says, and it's a quote, and I'm paraphrasing it. I can't get it exactly to bring it, but I'm sure you won't argue the point. But he said that every word in this Bible has been made alive by somebody. You know. All right. Now, watch him. There's things in this Bible that there are things mentioned in this Bible that has not been made alive.
Right.
All right. Now, there were until the prophet came on the scene, there was a vast part of the word that had not been made alive.
Right.
All right. Now remember, there are mysteries that was contained in the book. That's the reason I didn't finish my thought Sunday, you know. See, there was mysteries in the book that had not been spoken of, right?
Amen.
You remember?
Amen.
All right. The mysteries within the book, all right, that had not been spoken on until this prophet came.
Amen.
Well, then that had to be sown down by a prophet, because of him having the ability to receive that from God. And those things of the seals, etc., that were never known by mankind, was not, they were spoke of in the word, you know, all right, but not made alive. The church ages were spoken of in the word of God, but those ages had to be made alive by somebody. All right, then if we are in the seventh church age, and we believe we are, then God is still writing his book about the believers, remember? You remember what I was bringing out Sunday? The believers in the book. That is the words. That is the, you know, the what it is. See, we read it, and we read this, and we read John said so-and-so. And you know, Brother Al, he's good at saying that, he'll call me, what should I read or what should I do in relation? Well, if you would, please read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Study it. Think about all of the things that are said about the kingdom, because we're going to go into parts of it today, but we will get as we go along, and it would help you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. to follow what we're talking about. All right? But see, Brother Branham, now get back to my thought. There were things that were spoken of, yes, in the Word. The seventh church age is spoken of in the Word. But see, it has to be made manifest by somebody. That's you and I. Why can't we realize that? We are the people that the book had spoke of as coming into being. All right? See, we are that people. If you want to find yourself in the book, I've always said, go to the book of Revelations. You can find yourself in the book. See? It was the book that they told us to stay out of. Right? You know why the devil don't want you to do it? Because it lets you know who you are. And what did the prophet say? When the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, she would be an invincible army. But, you know, why wouldn't we then want to study or think about the relationship of ourselves today in the Word of God? So if the book has been made alive, and you'll follow that this Wednesday especially, as we try to get into something that, see, this was written by individuals. The Old Testament was written by the prophets. The New Testament was written by the apostles. All right? Going out to John on Patmos would be the final of the writing of the letter, as we call it, of the Word. But then by bringing that, see, John would be writing about our day, our time, and see yourself in the Word. What do you think you're here for? I mean, we're the people at the end of all things has come upon us, but we don't have nothing. We're just sitting around. You know, we don't have anything. This is the greatest of all days. All ages is waited on this age. All ages are dependent upon this age. They without us cannot be made perfect. All the way back to the beginning. If they can't be a group of people come to a change of the body, then everything's back behind there is not worth anything.
Right.
Because we would be speaking of them. Yes. No, they're speaking of us.
Amen.
To come to that point. And that was what I was rejoicing Wednesday night about, listening to Aaron, because I want to ask you a simple question. I know I think simple. I'm simple-minded. So, they don't have to say that, be simple, stupid, you know, thing to me. I am simple. All right? When Moses built the tabernacle, you know, in the wilderness, all right? Moses was able at that time to build it, and people built all of the things that went in the temple, right? The, you know, the tent in the wilderness and the thing. All right. See, then they were able, Moses knew exactly, because it was written by him later, to what to do, you know, or whatever, or when it was written by him. He knew exactly what was behind the veil. He knew each cherubim, seraphims, the different things over the altar and the things that was in there, right? He knew exactly that. He was the one that made it. All right. See, you get in your mind. But nobody can go behind a veil. You're not listening. Moses built it. But once it was dedicated, once the presence of God came behind the veil, no one but the high priest could go yearly. Right? Moses could not go back there again. Yet he was the one that made it. He was the one that designed all the things that God had spoke of. But once it was dedicated to God and the anointing came, no one but the high priest once a year could go behind the veil. Right? See, don't get the outer court and inner court mixed up to where David would go into the outer court and eat the shewbread that was only set aside for the priest. David never went behind the veil. He couldn't do that. He only went to the second part, which would be where the shewbread was for the priest to eat. All right? See, get your Bible and the right understanding. But see, what I was rejoicing about was this. Do we realize no prophet? Now, you give me the scripture if you think I'm wrong. No prophet, once it was dedicated, even Moses could never go behind the veil. No prophet ever went behind a veil. The great John the Baptist, he never went behind a veil. Now, let me ask you a simple question, because this is the way I think. Why would the prophet want to go behind a veil? The high priest could come out and tell everybody what's back there. Moses done told you what's back there. He done described it to the detail. How big to build it, how much to do this, where to put everything. And you remember, it would be set up, and then when they got ready to move, they had to back up and fold it with inwardly, like they say, to where that everything fell into place, because they could not turn and see what was behind there. Every bit had to be laid down and folded and fixed, and then they could pick it up and carry it. But which one's the most important? Now follow me through, and if I have to, I'll just preach this and forget the message. I'll preach this evening on what I read. All right. Because I want you to think about something. The prophets themselves could not go behind a veil. If I'm wrong, show me the scripture. Anyone behind a veil other than the high priest that was set aside for the job was instant death, right? Okay. But which is the importance of the prophet going behind a veil when, like I said, he already knew what was back there? Than talking to God himself. I mean, did Moses go sit behind the veil and write the five books? Or did God come from behind the veil to Moses? You don't think that way? None of those prophets couldn't go back there. But what could a prophet went behind a veil and come out and told you anything when Moses had already wrote what was back there? What was the reason you'd want to do? What about God coming to the prophets? The God that the rest of Israel saw him behind a veil. And you could ask them, where's God? Behind a veil. And we can only know he's back there by once a year. The high priest can go and tell us and come back and say that Aaron's rod has budded. You say, what are you getting at? You realize Moses spoke to God face to face. Lip to ear. Till he was so caught up in it until his face shined that they had to cover it because he'd been in the presence of God. But that was not behind the veil. I thought the prophets wrote the word. They never went behind the veil to get the word that they wrote. God came from behind the veil to them to write. No wonder the prophets were called gods. They were not instead of God. It's what your Pope says that he is. No, they were in God's stead. In other words, they stood between mankind and God. You say, if we could just go behind the veil. No prophet went there. But yet he got the Word of God. That's what I was talking about, the writing of the Bible Sunday see. And then when Brother Aaron got to bringing that down about the veil and the different things, it began to just unfold. Those prophets never went back there. It wasn't that God wasn't back there. The high priest verified that he was back there. But not back there as a person sitting over in the corner. No. But he knew the living God was there behind the veil. Even the great John the Baptist never went behind the veil to find out where to introduce Jesus Christ. He went to the wilderness. And yet he come out of that wilderness with the Word of God in his lips. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye. Where'd he get that? Oh, if we could just go behind the veil. I'm coming on down, so don't worry about it. All right? Don't get tied up in terminologies. Listen to what I'm saying. But see, those prophets had something greater than to go behind a veil. To go behind a veil, you only saw the instruments, the things that were made, the situation, the boxes, the Word of God. But it never opened a dab of that Word. Show me any scripture that a high priest went back and said, God appeared to me in there and said, Isaiah 9:6 is right. Was it not in there? Was it not put there? Was not the Ten Commandments? And was not the five books of Moses placed within the ark that was behind the veil or were the inner veil? Am I right? It was back there. But the priest didn't go in and say, I read while I was back there. And I read this and I read that. And see, maybe we're looking for God in the wrong place. Missing the understanding of a prophet. Why would Brother Branham emphasize so much that the prophets, all the prophets, said what? Thus saith the Lord. Right? Because that's what the Lord told him to say, and he said it. But would you show me in Moses' writings where Moses ever said, thus saith the Lord? I thought we were to follow the message to the end time to where that the prophet would say. He said, those prophets had thus saith the Lord, but said, the scripture says, I say unto thee, say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. We'll get to something your prophet called it. He called this Bible. He said, it's right here. As long as it's laid on the pages of this book, it can be questioned. Right. And he calls it the dead letter. Be real careful with that. I am very, very careful with that point. I believe your prophet was very careful of calling it dead letter. I think he knew how it got there. But yet, what's his emphasis? What's his emphasis of Paul? That the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. What's the emphasis? What's the thoughts? But you see, those prophets went into the presence of God, listen, by way of the Word of God. Sure, it was the Spirit of God to lead them, because Word and Spirit are one. Right? Then they could come out and tell you what was behind the veil. But there was more than just Ten Commandments to the Old Testament. There was more than the first five books of Moses. You got all the other books of the Old Testament that was the writing of the prophets. That not a one of them went behind the veil physically. Come on. Moses never got healed by going behind the veil. He got it by what? The pattern he saw in heaven. How did he know how to build the inner court? You know, the things. He went not just behind of a veil to pick up. He went right into the presence of Almighty God in heaven. Wherever you want to call it, what words you want to use. But then when he come back, all he could do was build what he saw. But you know, he didn't build what he saw. He built what he was told to build. But he saw Jesus Christ. Right? And he built this, and he built this, and he built this, and he built this. And everything in his mind was what? Trying to relate to mankind about Jesus Christ. And what it would turn out to be, and how it would be human in flesh. And it would come in on when it was supposed to. But you understand? Moses never went behind that veil to get the Word. The Word had already appeared to Moses. And he wrote it and put it behind the veil. But there was things that was not put behind the veil that would be part of the Word just as much as the Ten Commandments and the first five books of Moses. That's where my brother, he said, y'all say that Moses wrote five books. Said he wrote four, maybe part of five, but said, how did he write about his own death before he died? I said, that's no problem. I said, if you'll explain to me how that Moses knew what happened in Genesis, I won't have to tell you how he could write of his own death. You understand? If you could go back and see where Moses got it from, no problem with writing and say, oh, Moses died. See, because there was no way to tell my brother, he wouldn't listen to it. Because, see, Moses never died, right? You can't explain that to the believers this message, hardly. They want to argue over Moses died or not. Well, there's one thing about it. The devil couldn't find his grave. The way, Brother Brennan said, personally, I don't think he died. You remember that?
Yes.
It's because he appeared over there with Elijah and, see? And Elijah was one that never died, see, and he appeared. But are you listening? The writing of the Word. And those prophets could go right into the presence of Almighty God so much until they, now let's see, how can I paraphrase the statement. I didn't mean to go this way, but paraphrase it. The prophets, can I say it some way? What did he say? Wrote what was in their own lives. That's a part of the paraphrase quote. It was what was in their own lives. All right? And see, that would be why it would be so personal. It would be within their own lives that they would bring forth the word of God. And that's why that they would actually be God to the people. Because it was not them. It was the word they were bringing.
Right.
But they were writing the Old Testament. Here come a man upon the earth one day who walked the shores of Galilee. He lived and was called the Word made flesh. He never went behind the temple veil. You know what I mean. I'm going to get to the rest of it in a minute, so just don't lose me, all right? Jesus never walked up, pulled a curtain back, walked behind the veil, went inside. See, there was the problem with the children of Israel. And could it be our problems today? The problem with the children of Israel is they thought God was back there. They never thought God was out here. God never spoke from behind the veil and told David, you can't build a temple. You've done too much blood. Your son Solomon will do this and that, etc. Who told him that? Was it Nathan, the prophet? What about a prophet getting a message from God that he didn't have to go into this positional situation? That was only for the time-consuming point of time and a place to be later used to type and to do and the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. But it was God's way of doing. But may I say it this way? You think Israel ever realized that when that veil rent from the top to the bottom, that their God was not behind that veil anymore?
Right.
Where was their God?
Right.
It was hanging on Calvary.
Right.
The real veil come into view. The real place of God come into view.
Right.
Was to never been just totally behind a place and a material things placed in position and the anointing. And that's heaven forget if you try to explain, make me say something I'm not saying. That was the place of God. Don't you go wrong on me now. That was the place of God behind a veil. But I'm trying to get you a point to where you'll see something real. Because this word right here is God's position and place and what he is. But as long as it lays here, you can argue quotes out of here.
Right.
You take the message, you can argue quotes out of the message. But the prophet said, when it comes off of that page into your heart, it's made alive. He said, there's no argument then. You understand what I mean? There was no God behind that veil when the rent came. He showed there wasn't. He had left there a long time before then because he appeared in a flesh as a baby, well on earth, 30 years. God had been from behind the veil. But yet the priest could go in and out. The priest could go in every year and do all of his doings. But where was God? Dwelling on earth in a man. Where was the real veil of God? I thought the prophet would call him veiled deity. I thought he called you veiled deity.
Right.
You realize then that when Jesus Christ came back, the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, there was the God that had been behind the veil. That he no longer was behind human, made veils of skins and things. He was into the heart of mankind in the new birth. He was here with mankind, but not just with mankind. He was here in mankind. He said, I'll be with you, but said, I'll be in you. See? Do we have that kind of an alive God? Or we would like to find, oh, if they could just find, if Israel could get, just get all that material back together, they know where it's at. You know where most of it is? You know where most of the material that was behind the veil, you know where it's at today? In Rome. Because they took it with them when they desecrated the temple and tore everything down. Hey, don't you see them guys over there getting along with each other? Can't you just see that old Jew? I hate him. He's in it with, but he's got my material I've got to have, so I'll be friends with him. Come on, folks. You read what the Pope just says about women priests and all of the things that he's come up with in this day. What do you think he's doing? He said in that quote, what? All religions are of God. He ain't just meaning Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. He's meaning Buddha, Hindu, Muslim, all of them are serving the one God. What do you think he's doing that for? To gather all the little daughters. And not only the daughters, but everybody in the world. Who can pay off our national debt today? It ain't oil. Those guys with the oil don't have the gold. They spend it like crazy. Who's got the gold? I read one time about one of those guys over there who was in the oil well business and things to do it, and he had like 10 yachts. And each yacht was about $5 million. Just a yacht to ride around in. See, they're blowing it like crazy. Who's building it? Who's getting it? Who's buying your gold down on the corner? Oh, you want to ask brother back there that asked where was this going? And what was the answer? To somewhere. Was it Florida or something? Somewhere. It's going to somewhere. But nobody knows from there. Well, we know where it's going. Straight to the Vatican. Right? Come on, folks. Wake up. But listen, get the point. Which would be greater for you to find a veil to go behind and be able to put all of this stuff back together or to find a God that had been behind that veil? He's not going behind the veil when Israel gets the temple rebuilt in the tribulation and the things that they're going to do. They're going to start back building. He's not going behind there. He's going to be outside in a two witnesses. Two prophets is going to be bringing the word of God, not God back there. And that's what's going to get them killed, is they're going to tell them Jews he ain't back there. But listen, but don't you understand, you know, Moses and Elijah, don't y'all understand we can go over here and we can stand next to where we got all this together and we can feel his wonderful presence of his Shekinah glory. And we get into your presence and we feel bad. May I quote somebody said about Brother Branham? They asked him one time, said, why do I feel bad when I'm around you? It's a quote about somebody else said, okay? He said, you just don't know the truth of it. If ever demon there was hanging on walls and buildings when the man would walk in, God would have to let you realize when he did in the prayer lines, he says, now, do you realize he's here? But if you had gone up there right before that, you'd have said, why is all these demons hanging around? Right? Still the writing of the word. You realize then the New Testament was written by the disciples? That had not been behind the veil physically. Never knew anything probably about some of it. Other than what they had heard so-and-so said. But yet they brought the word of God. Isn't it odd that Moses could say, I made these after the pattern that was seen in heaven. Isn't it odd that Paul would come along and talk about that same thing? And he said, I've been into the third heaven and seen things that is not lawful for me to speak about. Isn't it odd that Brother Branham would say, I'm not like Paul, maybe. He said he went to the third heaven. He said, but I believe I've been to the first one. Where do you think Brother Branham got the revelation of the seals? There was nothing written in the letter of the word. Do you understand what I mean? The mysteries that were contained in the word of God, sure, they were spoke of throughout the word. But no man knew the mysteries of what it was to be. And isn't it odd that Brother Branham would refer to, he said, those prophets said, thus saith the Lord. He said, but Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. He was the Lord. Now, keep your mind in the right channel to listen. Where in the New Testament was anybody saying, thus saith the Lord? Come on, I've been with you over the years to try to express these things to you and listen to it. When Brother Branham spoke to Sister Hattie, spoke that, and Sister Hattie Wright said, that ain't nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. He said, you say what it'll be, and I'll speak it behind you, and it'll be. I think, I mean, this is human, this Brother Dale. She probably stumbled back a little bit in her thinking and couldn't get it right. He said, Sister Hattie Wright, you realize that's thus saith the Lord. She knew what that meant. Because she'd heard that through his voice and seen it manifest itself. I thought the third pool was to be the opening of the word. I thought within you was to be what was behind the inner veil. And then if you've got an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies within you. See? Those prophets never went back there. Why? Because God was out here. What do you want to go back there for? God out here. Why did the people of this world want to go to school to learn about God when the prophet was here? I don't speak derogatory about anybody. I just tell the truth. You answer me even one question. Why would Billy Paul go to college, a religious college, when his daddy? I wouldn't care to say that to his face or talk to him about it. You know the story. Brother Perry Green was the one that told it, okay? Billy Paul has verified it. But the guy was kind of getting a little bit sarcastic towards Billy Paul about something, and they didn't have to call up Brother Branham and tell him. He called up that head of this college thing and had a few words with him. Now that's a story that was told, okay? But do you understand? Brother Branham never went behind a veil to get the word of God. You know what I mean? To find a physical veil going to Israel. But yet he'd make a statement. He said, no preacher has a right to stand in the pulpit and preach until he's met God on the backside of the desert like Moses. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Wait. Aaron, you know, Bob Nim's not here. Really. Next week we're going to Israel. We're going to fly over there and get in the backside of the desert and we're going to finally get it. Now, what did he say that was? Your own personal experience with God. But the prophets never went behind a veil to get the word of God to bring it. Showing that it would not be that way. But This over here held the attention of the people.
That's it.
As long as they had the veil and the things. And it worked. Till a man named, who was it, Jonah in the belly of a whale. Said Solomon up there with David or Solomon, which one? Solomon, in the dedicating of the temple, said, if you'll just look to Jerusalem, if you just look to where the veil is at, God will hear you. You've heard Brother Branham say it. Jonah laying down in there, he turned around and he says, I don't know which way it is, but I'm going to speak that way. And yet he come in contact with the God that was supposed, they thought was behind the veil. No, you know where God was at? In the whale. Right? I mean, you want to get in the whale and go down in the bottom? Lay down in the ocean, first thing you'd explode. You couldn't stand it. You'd have to be a respiratory system change in a human being to be able to go down to the bottom of the ocean. Because Brother Tom Fogbush was explaining that 33 feet, I believe it is, every 33 feet that you go down in the ocean, your lungs decrease exactly one half their size. He knew that because he'd been down there. You know, he'd been with the guys with the pipe. And you know what he said about the guy with the pipe? You know what I mean? The suit that he went down? Because he was a deep sea welder. He had to go under the boats and stuff. He said, if that cuts off up there, he said, it will suck you up the pipe. The pipe is only so big. But said it'll just crush you and suck you up that pipe. Why? Because of the fact of how many degrees you've went, what you've done. And here's Jonah just riding along in the belly of the whale. And God right in the veil with, I mean in the middle of the whale with him. That's the safest place to be. Right? Safest place in the world was inside that whale. I don't think Jonah figured that out until he got out, have you? Right? I'm sure he was down there having a pity party. Lord, what am I doing down here? How often did that whale have to come up? You know, they do come up and get air, but how often did he come up and get air, you know, until the guy down in there could live, you know? All right, come on, folks. Get what I'm talking about. Send the apostles in the presence of God, got the word of God to write the New Testament. The apostles, not in the inner court of going behind there, the prophets that were there that heard from God and spoke. God wasn't back there, as we think. Now, let's see if you can follow this. Once that prophet spoke the word, what did Brother Brown say about Moses? Aaron bringing these out Wednesday, and what did he say? Maybe he didn't put these words because I can't remember exactly. But what did Brother Brown say in the seal book? He said first it was God's thought. Now, what did he go on to say? He said it ain't word yet. It's always been the word. Boy, glory, you know what you're talking about, don't you? He said, it's not the word yet. He said he gave the thought to Moses. Ain't the word yet. He says Moses' thought. He said he goes and speaks it. It becomes the word. Whose lips was that? Moses wiggling? But who's doing the talking? You wouldn't know thus saith the Lord. It was God himself speaking. You hadn't never noticed some things Brother Branham would say in the seal book. Where he got over, I believe it's the sixth seal now if I miss it. And the Lord was showing him things and this is what he said, paraphrasing it. He said, Lord, I can't tell them that. You ever notice that? Tonight, go read the sixth seal. You'll find it. He said, I can't tell them that. What about a man deciding what's to be told a human being? Who was that? Who told God a better way of doing things back under Moses? Was it Brother Branham's great idea? No, no, it was the Christ in Brother Branham that was speaking through his lips. What does it say on one of those quotes back there? Isn't there one? It said, you're not hearing the voice, how does it say it? Somebody paraphrase. You're not hearing, this is not William Branham. You're not hearing what he said. He said, it's God speaking. You say, well, that's just one time. I don't agree with you. When he came out there and told what that first white horse rider was, that was God's word. The thought had come to Moses, to Brother Branham, and then it was spoke. I don't care if Clarence Larkin, so many years before Brother Branham, Clarence Larkin said the white horse rider was the Antichrist. I don't care. That's fine. That's what people. A lot of people said a lot of things. But it didn't mean anything. A lot of people preached justification before Luther come out with it. Luther probably preached justification many, many, many times. But one day it come off the pages of the book into his heart and he went forth and spoke it. You'll get more of that as we go along. I wondered how I was going to push past Wednesday. Because I didn't want to preach what I've got to bring Wednesday. I wanted to preach it next Sunday. I hope you're here. I would make plans to be here. Yes, but Brother Dale, I've got an opportunity to go so-and-so. Go ahead. I'll get the tape. Go ahead. I just ask you, would you please be here next Sunday? Well, bless God, I don't have to be. I can go right ahead. Hey. But do you understand? Those prophets never went behind a veil to get the word of God to tell the people. They sat out on the backside of the desert with God's presence. Even though a great man named John, now not the Baptist, John, that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he goes to the backside of the desert, not behind a veil that he would find, or a rock or a place or a situation. He goes to the Isle of Patmos. And God comes down and gives him the New Testament of the book of Revelations. Is that right? Yeah, he wrote over there the Gospel of John. He wrote the Little Johns. He wrote a good bit. But what about when he went to Patmos? See, God wasn't through writing. He never finished with Paul and the apostles. He was not through writing. Now follow me. If God wasn't through writing and he gave it to John on Patmos, then who was going to read that or explain that to you and I? So then the entire book of Revelations would be a mystery. Sometimes you understand, sometimes you don't understand. That'd be fine. Okay. But it's a mystery. And you know what? A mystery is something hidden that even when it's revealed that a supernatural element remains despite the mystery, that it make everything that what we think about it. Right? Have you been behind a veil? Because in the New Testament it's required for you to be behind a veil, or you cannot hear what the prophets had to say of the Old Testament. Is that clear enough? No man can call Jesus a Christ what? Except it be by what? the Holy Ghost, except it be by the new birth, except it be by Christ dwelling in you. The Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the Word. Is that Christ, the mystery of God, reveal? I believe that's the page, at the tape it's on. What about it? If I could just find... May I make an illustration without getting sarcastically to anyone or throwing off on anyone? When they found 24 tapes back a few years ago that somebody had kept those, you know, tapes and they were not released, everybody in the message wanted those 24 tapes. That was probably the biggest sale they had, was to sell those 24 tapes. Why? Oh, fine, I wanted them too. Right? But why would most people want them? That's a secret mystery that was withholding until now. Why did they, from the inside, open up the cornerstone of the tabernacle? Why did they need what was anything behind to put in there? Because they thought it was a mystery that they would find. But you see, the new birth takes you behind a veil greater than the high priest who walked behind it. Because it never birthed him. He never come out of there a changed person. He never came out of there with a new birth. He came out of there as the same person that went behind there. But we are to go behind a veil to where God is. Right? Go beyond the natural things to where God is dwelling at. 1971, July the 4th, the first sermon I preached in this building was going beyond man's camp. And I said then, don't blame us for pulling apart from any of you that we went to church with and we done things. We're not trying to do that. All we're trying to do is to go beyond man's camp. They have always tried to put me in every camp that's ever been in this message, from the two souls, the seven thunders, the Perusias, to everything that's been, the polygamies and the igamies and what all kind of things. But you see, one day I went behind a veil. Not in Jerusalem as a priest, but through the opening of the Word, where the prophet was at, with the opening of the Word. You understand what it means then of what you're talking about? You think Brother Branham would have liked to swap with the priest? Come on now, be human. Brother Branham would have loved to walk behind that veil as a eyeballs to look things over? Yes. So don't misunderstand me. He would have enjoyed it, loved it. But where was his going behind a veil? In his new birth. He went where, now listen, he went where the prophets couldn't go. Come on, the Old Testament prophets couldn't go behind a veil. They couldn't get born again, so they couldn't come over and do that part. So there's no need of going back there because God wasn't there. Right. Now you say, well, Brother Dale saying God wasn't behind a veil. Oh, you really got a good, smart attitude. You'll deal with God about those things. I don't have to. God can be behind that veil in what he had to be, but he could be standing out there with Moses, speaking to Moses lip to ear. The priest could walk in the same day Moses was out here writing the five books. The priest could walk in and feel the Shekinah glory. And had he carried within him a stick and left it, it would have budded, blossomed, and borne almonds or whatever stick it was. But where was God at? Oh, if I could have done like Brother Branham. You're missing the point. Because on Christ the Mystery, see, Aaron referring, and then Brother Forney, see, I love that part. From Christ the Mystery, Brother Branham is speaking of a will and a purpose, a plan of God. You mean to think that we're going to end this thing up as haphazardly nothings? He saved the greatest to last. Do you realize everybody before you is going to talk to you when you get there to want to know what you preached about Jesus? And you know what? They'll be able to understand you. Because you know why? They had the same Jesus. We just ended the full opening of the Word of God. Why would you want to go behind a veil to try to find something? Even the Ten Commandments that you could read from. May I quote Brother Branham? He said, when the commandments came, the seals come. I'm paraphrasing it, but it's close. He called the Ten Commandments the seals. Well, I still don't understand how the Ten Commandments could be the seals. Because it said, thou shalt not. I like the way Brother Gary Atkins said it. He said, we read the Ten Commandments as what? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But why not read it? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. I was talking to him last night about a little bit of this. You know, I'm just saying it. Okay, you forget it. I'm not bragging on anybody. Sister D. DeMille's the director of the Ten Commandments. Is that right? Cecil D. DeMille, you know, and who was the guy that was the played Moses, Charlton Heston. See, in that, he got upset a few times, but basically he had a calm attitude about him, and I liked that. Because, see, you think the God of the Old Testament is a hateful, arrogant old feller. I thought they'd done a wonderful job of bringing him down to a situation. I believe Jesus got upset. But we were viewing one just the other day that we got to where he's doing. And the one that was playing Jesus throughout his whole ministry of the time that they gave him with the full book of John and the thing, probably twice in there he smiled. Most of the time he was arrogant and hateful. I don't think Jesus done that. But I don't think he was no sissy. Right? Oh, that's all right. Y'all just go ahead and do. I don't think he was quite that away. If he was the God of love, then what was he? Oh, what we think is he looked at the prostitute and he grinned. Oh, I love you. Look at the first one. I'm mad at you. I don't think he was out of the way. I think he was more humble than what we would ever think about being. But yet he was stern about what he said. And he got excited a few times and said things. Brother Branham said he did. Now you can quote him. He said Jesus got angry. So you quote what you want to. There's a lot of difference in angry and mad. No, it's all the same word. No. You get angry about something happening, but you're not mad about that happening. Mad means you're getting ready to kill. You just think about that Old Testament. That thrilled me when I heard Brother Brown say it. He said, the great Jehovah, the Old Testament, he said he's come down and busied himself with the children of Israel. When that high priest went behind the veil, did he go in there one time and it was, oh, sweet and humble presence? Next time he went in, he's, ooh, he's kind of a little upset today. You know. I thought the same God that was behind the veil is supposed to be living in your heart. Am I wrong? I thought he's supposed to be living in you and I. Well, then is he in you and I? I thought if he's to be in you and I, he was supposed to turn the other cheek. Right? I thought he was to be, our nature was to be humble and sweet. Didn't say sissy. I said humble and sweet. There's a lot of difference in it. But do you understand? You think about it. Those prophets never went behind a veil to get what they wrote. Moses never went behind a veil to get the five books he wrote. He wrote them before the veil came into being. He'd already been behind and saw how to build the veil. He'd already seen Christ. But how could he describe it? You think it won't be a wonderful time? This is one little thing I won't charge you for. Come on, musicians. But you know what? You think about those Old Testament saints. And you think about in the millennium, as you and I will be there, and those Old Testament saints, the portion of them is supposed to be the predestinated. I'm quoting Brother Branham. All right? The predestinated will be there. That's his words, okay? And you think about it. Would it be any problem for you sisters to walk with some of those Jews and go down through there and say, you remember this was in the temple? I said, yeah. I said, you remember you didn't know what it was. I said, this is what it speaks of. The foundations of things. It speaks of Jesus Christ. It spoke of the apostles to come. It spoke of the things. I can see how they take over 1,000 years for me to describe what little bit I see about the temple to somebody. Did you remember the Holy of Holies? Yeah. Well, see, you don't have to go back there now because there ain't a veil cutting you off. You'll have plenty of time to describe to the people what you see. But it'll all be about Christ. See, God is still writing His Bible in you. In you. He's still writing. Because you are the words that was in the book. Is that where we ended up last week? The words in the book is you. Now, we're going to get to something this evening and start picking up a little talk. Because remember, this Bible is the Word of God. This Bible is the seed of God. This Bible has been made alive by somebody except for the things that I just spoke of. The mysteries, the secrets were never made alive by anybody. So somebody's going to make it alive. Somebody's going to make it live of a change in a moment, twinkle of an eye. Somebody's going to make that live. Why can't we believe that we're in the time of still of the writing of the Word? Sure, it's been spoke of, because there's nothing new. May I quote Brother Branham? He said that Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, it's been spoke of, by the believers that was in the book. We said it's never been made manifest until this time. So, we are the ones to make manifest. The part that was not written back there is our day. It was already spoke of. It's not something new. You're not adding to the book. But what about our lives? But if we've never been behind the veil, we can't understand. Because now I'm going to finish what I was stating. I told you, the same God that was back over here that the priest could feel the anointing and realize he was there and cure a rod and it bud was the same God that was out here in Moses. Now, you can't make it different. So the same writing of the word that was for all of the believers in the book that was wrote about James, John, Peter, this and that and the other, you can't be contrary to that and say you are the word that has been written. Is that a quote? You are the word. Not a written epistle like adding a new one. You remember that? It's the word that has been written, made manifest in your life. Let's stand. What do we got?
299 in the spiral book.
I didn't think I was going to preach that message, okay? I won't charge you. I'll just move it over.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him call.
To be Brother Branham. We're not trying to be the prophets. We're not trying to be all of that. We're just trying to be what we're supposed to be. I believe the things that we look at are trying to make it so big until we've overrode the simplicity of God. That's all I tried to explain the other day about the little woman at the well. Just had a little understanding of the word. in comparison to Nicodemus having so much of the word. But yet it was just that one little simple thing. She believed it. Can we believe it? Lord Jesus, you know why we would bring this message, because we didn't intend to go this way, but we had the thought in our mind. We can see now that it would bring it out to the finishing of the writing of the word so that we can continue on into the message that you've given us to bring to the people. It's not our message, it's yours, Lord. It was brought to us by way of a prophet, and we thank you, and we just commit everything into your hands. We're not trying to go behind a veil. We just know somebody else has been there. We're not dependent upon our thoughts and our ideas and our revelation. We're dependent, Lord, upon what somebody else had to say. But then, Lord, we must believe what they said. And then it'll become into our heart a germinated seed that we can walk into your love and grace. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss. Remember the service this afternoon.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?